You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat. And you do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it! Another great day it is outside. You know, my philosophy, any day you wake up is
a great day.
A great day. Green side up, baby. Green side up. Anyways, we've got another interesting show for you today. We have a theme, first off. We want to know, what was your first car? It's like you never forget your first love.
But well, you could combine it. Which car did you first make love in? That's another one.
No, that's the next show. Okay, that's a whole other show. My back still hurts. Anyways, today we were supposed to have Jeff Coy with us from Lant Insurance. Unfortunately, Jeff is a little bit under the weather, so we're going to be switching the things around, and we're going to be talking to you on the phone, so the lines will be open a lot longer than they usually are.
Exactly. Give you the opportunity to call in with your car care question.
That's correct. Terry Lobson will call in. He's at the middle of the show. And by the way, everybody that calls in, we're going to get you tickets for the Classic Car Production. It's going to call Classic Car Productions, not the Classic Car Auction anymore. It's Classic Car Productions. So we're going to get you that. That's a real event. It opens the spring market up. Guys are coming to buy new projects, get rid of the old projects.
Right. It's up next weekend. May 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, May 5, 6, and 7. So that's a great event. I love going to that. And remember, we have an ongoing contest. Trip to Las Vegas, get a hotel room, go to the racetrack, go to lessons. Drive the Ferrari, come home, get four tires for your car, and get your car rust-proofed. Drive it down to the studio, and Alan and I will take you out for lunch after you join us for the hour.
There you go.
So I've got your whole weekend planned.
So if you've got a car care question, if you've got a question about the auction, anything at all, you're welcome to give us a call.
Yeah, you're welcome to give us a call. And the other questions are, we have a bunch of stuff to tell you. Just before we go, I got to tell you a quick story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my son is working full-time, and my daughter-in-law works full-time. So they have a housekeeper that goes and picks up the kids.
Yeah.
So in front of my son's house, it's a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
So she's driving down the one-way street, and this guy in a Maserati is coming the wrong way on the one-way street.
Right.
So they both are stopped there, and he blows his horn and gives her the finger.
Really?
Even though he's in the wrong.
He's in the wrong, yes.
Okay. So she doesn't know what to do, but there's a cop right behind her.
Yes.
He gets out, and he tickets the guy in the Maserati.
Perfect.
And then walks over to the housekeeper and makes him apologize. What a great story. So he had to apologize to her for giving him the finger. I thought that was phenomenal. Usually when the guy gives you the fingers, nothing you can do, but, you know, it's my free accident. There you go. Anyways, we'll be right back with some phone calls. The lines are filling up.
Oh, wow, look it. We got David. We got Garrett. We got we're jammed.
Okay. And remember, your big question of the day is, what was your first car?
What was your first car?
Yeah.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with your first question right after this break.
Alrighty, we're back. I don't know where we were, but we're back anyways. Just a reminder, Lant Insurance, who's one of our, one of our great sponsors.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so they're into
specialty
classic cars and all that
specialty
stuff.
Insurance, right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they sell policies for people who have special cars that they only drive quite infrequently.
And that's the deal. Because you're driving it infrequently, insurance costs almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to go to our website, davescornergarage.com, click on Lant Insurance, and they're going to come up with a calendar that's telling you what car events are going on in the area. So this weekend is Ancaster Swap Meet.
Oh, wow, really?
Right? So if you're looking for parts for that Model T, if you're still doing Model Ts, I don't know what you're still doing. But if you're looking for car parts and stuff, it's a great way to just have a nice time out and meet your friends. You know, like you meet your friends with likes.
Exactly. Like so, likes. You know, because part of the issue here, especially if you're talking about vehicles that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, you got to make connections. You got to find out who to speak to and who can get you the best deal.
Which is the club.
Who's honest and who's not, you know. How often does it happen, you know, you buy something on eBay and you kind of scratch your head that because – We did it one time. We had a fellow bring in an old car, and he says, you can get the parts at this place. So I call a guy, and I needed brakes. Now, traditionally, when you get brakes, you get the brake shoes with the lining and everything, and that's how it comes. Well, if you don't ask the right questions.
Yeah.
So we paid $100 for just brake lining and a box of rivets.
Yeah, okay. That's the way we used to do it, though.
What happened here? I ordered brakes. So, yeah, you got to find out.
But, Alan, that's the way we used to do it.
I'm not as old as you.
We used to rivet the brake linings on. We used to re-drive the generators.
Yes.
We used to put the armatures into a growler to see if it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to rebush it, and you had to clean it up, put new bearings in it, or bushings, and away you went.
Well, my mechanic was growling for sure because he went, what the hell am I supposed to do with these?
Drill out the holes and make the rivets.
All right, we're going to go to our callers.
Yeah, go ahead. Premium gas we're going to talk about.
Okay, David in Loretto's got a question about what kind of gas to use, I guess. David?
Yes. Hi. How are you guys?
Excellent. You?
Great. I own a 300C,
mm-hmm.
and it takes I put high test in it, mm-hmm. and I got phenomenal mileage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my question is, I know you told me about Shell, which I use, but I also went to Costco, and I asked them about their high tests. And they tell me that there's no ethanol in the gas.
Correct.
Now, I guess to find out if there was ethanol in it, the Ontario government would have to put a sticker on it stating that there's ethanol.
It's right. Absolutely correct. It's usually on the pump. It says 10% ethanol or 15% ethanol.
Okay. So it doesn't say for the high test, there's nothing on it about ethanol.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's more likely it's Shell gas.
Well, it could be, yes. Now, also, David mentioned about down in Brazil that all they use is ethanol.
Correct.
Right. Now, does it create environmental hazard, that ethanol, when they burn it? Or not?
No, I think it burns pretty clean because, for the most part, it's just like burning alcohol.
Yes, exactly.
The issue for the vehicles is that the ethanol itself can be quite corrosive, and if the vehicle's not meant to use ethanol, you can't use straight-up ethanol because the mechanical parts, whether it's the tank, the fuel lines, the fuel pump, they can't handle that extra problem.
Yeah, you'll see where it says multi-fuels or ethanol capable. The fuel lines are stainless steel. They were not metal. They're stainless steel. The rubbers are a different quality of rubber in the injectors and all those things. So they've adjusted the cars. And most cars are running up to 15 ethanol now. So it's E85, all right? So 85% gas and 15% ethanol, right? And the other thing, your comment about using premium, Alan had this years ago. I don't know if you still remember, but he had a Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
And when he ran it on regular, he wouldn't get as far as when he ran it on premium.
Right.
All right. And the reason is because the premium overpowers the knock sensor. What there is a sensor in the engine that if it hears it's pinging because the gasoline is breaking down, it pulls back on the timing. This way, the timing advances all the way and you get all the power the engine can produce.
So for the most part, David, stick with whatever that says inside the gas door.
Yeah.
All righty?
Well, it says 90, usually 90. Does it say 90 in yours or super or premium?
I think it says premium.
Yeah. So if you stick with that, you'll actually get more mileage. So you break out almost even.
Yes. Well, I just found that when I traveled from near Ottawa up to Newmarket, it cost me $33 in fuel.
Interesting.
That was it.
Okay, super.
And if I drive it on the low test, I'm looking at $55 to $60.
Wow, huge difference. Yeah, all right, I want to thank you for calling in with that. It's some useful information.
We're giving away tickets to the classic car auction. Do you want a pair?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, hang on the line, and we're going to get your information and get you a ticket. And who we got hanging on? We've got Garrett, we've got Richard, a few more people online. And if you line is open,
we have
right
another
now.
David too. It's two Davids.
How many can there be?
It's me, and that's 3D.
And my middle name's David. There you go. So if you've got a car care question, give us a call right now. You could may even win a pair of tickets to the collector car auction that's coming up next weekend. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. I shouldn't say that.
Why?
Because you should say, welcome back. And I want to tell you a quick story. You know, spring is coming.
Yes, of course.
And there's a lot of greenery in the back of our house. We have a pool where the birds, well, it's not open yet, so they're having a good time.
I wouldn't know. I didn't get the invitation yet.
So what happens is, last year, I had a robin outside my window. 5 o'clock in the morning, this thing starts beeping away, right? He's looking for a mate. He's going, hey, hey, hey. So finally, must have found some, because 4 or 5 weeks later, it got quiet. Well, now I got a woodpecker, and I'm going, brrr, brrr, and I'm going, who the hell is doing construction at this time?
Really, in the city, a woodpecker. Right?
I had a woodpecker and two red cardinals, and those guys are just going at it like you wouldn't believe it. So it's interesting. So every morning I can wake up dreaming of construction.
Really, I'm amazed about the flora and fauna at Bathurst and St. Clair.
There's a lot, because the ravine is just next door.
Okay.
So there's a lot of animals, right? The raccoons come in, they wash their hands in the pool, they poop on the deck, and leave. Or the other way around. I'm not sure. All right, let's go quickly to the phones. And
all right, we got another David. This one's in Toronto, and he's got a Buick that's not working as it should. David, what can we do for you?
I really love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I understand I want lunch with the two of you, but apparently there'll be so much food on the tray, it may fall off the side window. Is that true?
could break the glass altogether.
I haven't seen that in years. I saw it in the States, though, at A&W.
Yes.
Right.
So my question is, 2002 Buick 3.8 liter. I've driven the car all winter, fine. My son borrows the car. You know, 24 hours later, I get the call, Dad, the car will not go on the highway. He's getting it up to 60, 70 kilometers an hour. He says it's struggling up hills. And then the next day, it's fine.
Okay.
So I'm picking the car up tomorrow. Can you give me any hints on that?
Well, I guess the first thing to do, of course, is to check to see if the check engine light is on.
There's no lights on.
Well, the light may not be working. That's the other issue with an older car.
A bulbectomy.
You know, the first thing, has the car been used all winter, or did it sit a lot of the time?
It did sat, and then I drove it, let's say, from February on.
Okay, and when you drove it, it felt totally normal?
Beautiful. 120 on the highway, no problems.
Yeah, well, the first thing to do is check your fluid levels, make sure it's full. I mean, if your oil's down, it can cause a hesitation. If the gasoline is bad, that could cause a hesitation as well. Normally, again, the check engine light will be on.
Right.
You want to feel, when you're driving it, see if you're actually feeling it, when it's holding back, is it just as if it's got no power, or perhaps do you feel a jerkiness? Because if you feel a jerkiness, then probably you've got a misfire where one of your spark plugs or the wires are bad. But again, you know, you're going to take it to a mechanic and go in and see him. That's the other possibility, of course, because of the age. We talked about fuel earlier. It could be that the fuel filter is plugged up, but that's why it can't go as fast as you want it to go.
Yeah, and then it settles down. Maybe you have dirt in the tank.
Transmission.
A possibility, but you know, I would take the mechanic. You know, we don't mind you giving us your 2 cents when you bring the car in, you know, but don't, by all means, I would take the mechanic for a ride and say, here, this is what I'm feeling. Do you feel it? Do you hear it? And then once he experienced it, it shouldn't be hard to find. All right,
okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Here's the question that we wanted to answer: the first car, Andy in Stouffville,
what was your first car?
29 Model A coupe with a rumble seat.
Wow!
Are you that old, Andy?
Well, I bought it when I was 16.
Okay.
1955.
Really?
Yeah, and...
Was it a daily driver still?
What? Oh, yeah, sure.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was a rural kid, so we could have our driver's licenses when we were 14 back then.
So the A was, out of wood, and A was all steel?
No, there was... the body was steel... I can't even. The frame was steel.
Yeah, first one was steel.
The T
was with wooden body.
Yeah, I went to a really small high school, 9 guys in my class. You know, on the outside. So I used to drive it into town to go to school, and you know, in the wintertime, did some donuts on the school grounds.
Was that a closed-in body or was it open?
Oh, yeah, no, it was closed-in body. The center of the roof, the square at the center of the roof was a fabric.
Yeah, it was cloth, yeah.
Yeah, and it had air conditioning, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you could
60-40 air?
The windshield. You tilted the windshield out forward.
Right.
It the bottom of the windshield just cleared the gas cap that was right there in front of the firewall.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. My dad used to have a lot of collectible cars back in the 70s when inflation was so rampant.
Yeah.
He bought a lot of collectible cars, and I did a lot of restoration on that stuff, and I look at it and they go, nah, they couldn't have done it that way, and they did.
I had a windshield wiper.
Well, I was going to say I was at the Packard Museum. In Florida, near North Miami, is a Packard Museum,
yep,
which is a great place to go. But the carburetor had a spark plug built into it. Instead of a choke, they would start the fire just after the gasoline left the carburetor, and that's what's got the car running first thing in the morning.
Well, that's
and
scary.
I'm going, that's not real. And the guy goes, yeah, it worked flawlessly. Never had any problems as long as the engine was sucking the gas. When it backfired, you had some serious issues.
All right, Andy, we got to jump. But if you want tickets for the car show, why don't you hang on the line and we're going to get your information right after the break. All right? This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
We're here.
We are back.
I used to have a host of the show and the guy said, why y'all say we're back? Mm-hmm. Where did we go? Right? So we're just going to say welcome to Dave's Corner Garage.
Well, we were no longer at the forefront. You see, there was other things that were happening while we were breaking.
Okay. Toronto Classic Car Auction, otherwise known as the Classic Car Productions, is at the Airport International Center May 5th, 6th, and 7th. And we have Terry Lobson on the phone with us, which is nice to talk to you again. That means spring is actually here. Terry, good morning.
Right. Yeah, good morning, fellas. Yeah, it's our kickoff this year. It's kind of a spring tradition here.
It
for
is,
collectors.
Yeah.
And hybrating all year.
Do you see more convertibles at the spring auction rather than the fall auction?
I would say so, yeah. I think the spring's kind of the, I would say it's probably the bigger of the two shows.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little more of a collection, I think. I think people are cleaning out their garages or making room for something new or looking for a project. So it's always a good show. Both of them are really well attended. People hopefully from the States here with the exchange on the money.
Well, you say project, though. I mean, there a lot of these cars are pristine condition that you can drive away. I mean, they're not all barn finds where you're going to have to spend the next 5 years on them, are they?
Yeah, that's right. There's a few of them we call them project cars, or original cars. You know, they still require some tinkering. I mean, they're not basket cases by any means. Not if it's something really rare, but a lot of the cars, you know, have been restored, mm-hmm, or partially restored or been original. Maybe people want to take them up another notch and, you know, put them into shows and stuff, or maybe just leave them the way they are.
Terry, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that a problem when you have cars such as you've got a 67 Corvette, which is almost a 100-point car? Now, mm-hmm, there's a 30% difference between U.S. and Canadian dollars. Does that mean that these cars are going to end up down the U.S. and end up in another auction down there?
It could be. I think what the attraction is some of the Canadian models, the ones that were built in, are more rare down there than they are up here. But I don't think there's going to be a big flood of them. We don't see that. There is a bit of a process in bringing the cars back. Not much of a problem, but you have to go through a broker, so it's not going to be. It's not as easy as just coming driving it home. So there's people that are looking at it, and then maybe sometimes different states have different rules too, as far as importing and safety regulations and things like that, but we don't see a big flood of them.
People don't realize that how hard it is to source some of this stuff. You've got a 67 Cadillac convertible with less than 9,000 miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
that's so rare. It's the end of the line of the convertible sign for GM for a long, long time, and yet you've got it at the auction. How long does it take you to set this up and convince the owners that it's time to move it on and to also convince them that you're the company to do that for them?
Well, I guess it's, there's the traditional way of advertising, online or in the magazines, which works well, too, if you have the time. You've got a lot of people that are going to be coming over and looking at knocking on your door, kicking the tires. And then the whole objective of an auction is we try to do the marketing and bring all those people that you're trying to reach. We try to bring them all into one building so that, you know, you've got a better chance of selling it at an auction than waiting for it to sell through the newspaper. It depends on your situation.
Well, right, this way you've got all the like-minded individuals, people who are all together looking for the car, besides the fact that all of a sudden now people are bidding against each other and jacking
the
price up.
I was doing a 29 Chevy, and I was lost as far as getting parts and stuff was concerned. I went to the auction, and I talked to all these people who had Chevys. And they sort of told me where I can get parts. And there was stuff there. You had like a flea market for parts. And I bought a whole bunch of stuff there. Walked out of there, you know, like with a happy camper.
For people who haven't been to the show, Terry, what other things do you have there besides the actual auction?
Well, it basically covers the whole hobbyist of collecting cars. The services are theirs for ramps and accessories and parts and car manuals, books. There's a little bit of a flea market in there.
Well, that's great. So if you already have an old car, this is a great place where you can make connections and find some parts. Great.
And memorabilia as well. If you want to decorate your garage, if you know that, there's all kinds of literally tons of memorabilia up for auction as well. Neon signs and bling for the garage.
And you can get that old antique gas pump if you want.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, I think it was last year I walked by, and we have a parking problem where my man's cave is. So the guy was selling hoists, and it was like $2,000 for a hoist.
Yep.
So I bought it right there on the spot. Right? Yeah. And the guy came over the week after, installed it for us, and boy, we have an extra car in the shop now where we couldn't have one before. So never know what they want. It's there. It's a car.
That's a great education to come and you know, there are a lot of car guys are there. If you're looking for something, it's good to, you know, talk to some of these. The owners are usually there with their cars, so you can learn about, get a great education. We always say to try to, you know, do your homework or come out to an auction first just to see how it feels and get to know the process and that, and do your homework.
For people who haven't ever been, who had never attended, what's the process? I mean, if they want to come and they want to bid on a car, how do they just start it up?
Well, your admission is $20 a day, I think $35 for the weekend.
Right.
And that includes your free parking, your bidder's pass, and the run list, run order for the show as well. So basically, sign up, you get a credit card, is basically the as a deposit. You can't buy a car in your credit card, but you have to do all the paperwork and get everything in order by the following Monday evening. It's basically, so you have to get line of credit or whatever, get that arranged before
so
Monday.
Arrange your funds before you go to start bidding, right?
Yeah, and it's good, like I say, to kind of have an idea what your budget is, you know, what you're looking for. The great thing is too, sometimes if you don't get the car you want, there might be something else that catches your eye too. So a lot of people come, you know, looking for a car. Yeah. They might not get the one, but there's lots of other choices. Or there's maybe another of the same model. I think there's like, if you like Corvettes, I think there's like 19 of them.
Wow.
In the thing. So.
All right, Terry, thanks very much for joining us today. We got to run.
Internet, how do we get a hold of you there?
Okay, yeah, go to CCP Auctions.
CCP.
That'll... CCP Auctions, yep, and that'll, or just put Toronto Classic Car Auction and plug it into Google, and away you go, and all the information.
And there's
there.
A list of the cars they're running currently.
That's, yep. All the list and the run order of the list of when they're going to be sold is there, as well as the memorabilia that we have each day.
All right, and pictures of all those cars. Okay, super. Yeah.
We're coming. Sorry. We'll see you there.
Okay, guys.
Have a great auction.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next week. Take
and we
care.
Still have some Thanks. More tickets to give away. If you're listening, make sure you call in, and we'll get your name, your address, and your phone number, and you'll pick it up at the will call desk.
Yeah, and we got Garnet and Bob Cajun. We're going to find out what's wrong with his car. Oh, look, and someone's calling us from New York, New York. We're going to get to
New
all
York.
Those calls.
I'm sorry, it's New York.
New York. We'll get to those calls
I
right after toity, this break.
And toit.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. The garage door is open, and we're taking calls today. Today, we're going to New York.
We're going to New York. We're going to talk to Dick in Lewiston. Dick, what can we do for you? Thanks for calling.
Good morning, guys. Enjoy the show very much.
Thank you very much. What are you driving?
I've got an 05 Ford Expedition. I bought it used about a year and a half ago with 97,000 miles on it. Currently got about 105,000. The gas mileage on this thing is unbelievable.
Unbelievably good or unbelievable bad?
12 miles a gallon. I've changed the fuel filter, had plugs put in it, gas filter. That thing, I'm running about 6.9 miles a gallon right now.
All right. Now, you bought it used, right? So you don't know what the truck was set up for. It may have a very high rear end in it. So, in other words, it could have been set up for towing, not for, for highway driving.
So, it came from a money family. They used the old man drove with the, or he flew to Florida. His son drove with the Florida.
Yeah.
He'd run it around down there, and he'd bring it back. Kid bring it back. The guy demanded to fly home. I don't know what to do with this. It's driving me nuts.
Well, I think what I would do is take it to a shop and have them look at the data coming out of the oxygen sensor.
Yeah.
Because between the oxygen sensor and the temperature sensor, which is, you know, would, in the old days would work the choke, those are the two things that are going to make it burn the most amount of gas.
Right.
All right. So if the oxygen sensor is acting, if it's reacting way too slowly, it'll burn more gas. Or if the coolant temperature sensor, for example, is getting wrong information, it's almost like in the old days when the choke is on all the time.
Right. It's got a 5.4 liter engine in it.
Do you ever look around back by the tailpipe? Do you find that it's gray or black in color? Does it look sooty?
No, I don't. I haven't drove it in about a month. I'm afraid to drive it.
Have emissions tests in New York State?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Did it pass the emissions test when you got it?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Well, that means there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, but that was a while back. I mean, the other things you can look at, for example, it's an older vehicle. If you didn't service the brakes in a long time, it could be the brakes are hanging up. Tire pressures could be down. Ultimately, of course, if everything else proves positive, as Dave said, it could be set that you've got a really high gearing on the rear end. So that'll give you a bad guy.
A lot of guys will buy them, pull a trailer, and so they got a higher gear in it, and it's using more fuel because it's lugging all the time.
But the first thing to do, Dick, is, again, go around the back of the car and look at the tailpipe and just see if it's black or not. Because if you find it is black, then obviously the engine is, you know, running really rich.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first place you got to check out. All righty?
Get somebody to spend some quality time with it. Thanks, Dick.
All right, Dick, appreciate you calling in from Lewiston.
Lewiston, New York.
All right.
And clear from Lewiston, New York.
All right, we're going to go up to Bob Cajun now. We got Garnet, who's got a cold weather issue with his Camry. What's going on? Those are usually pretty good, Garnet.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Fine, yourself.
Well, not too bad, but I wanted to tell you about, we've got a 2014 Toyota Camry XLE.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Great little car, our third Toyota, but we have one problem with it.
What's that?
In the cold weather, unless you take it for a long drive, it won't start in the morning.
Oh.
I've contacted Toyota, and the only solution they come up with is go take it for a long drive, and then, you know, it'll build up the battery enough to start. But we're retired now. We're living in a retirement home.
Oh, okay.
And we don't go for long drives anymore.
So let me tell you something. You're saying that it doesn't crank when you go in the morning to start it?
It won't start.
So what's happening is your battery's running down. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you park it outside or inside?
Outside.
Well, one of the things you could do, I mean, what's happening is that you see that on a modern car now, you have so many devices that are electronic, and they're always taking power out of the battery, even when the car is not being driven. There's a certain amount of things that have a keep alive memory, and they're going to suck that power down from that battery. I'm guessing, is the battery the same age as the car? Is it 3 years old?
I'm sorry.
How old is the battery?
Oh, the battery has been changed, and I think the battery is fairly new, within the past year.
Okay, well, again, the issue is, you see, cars are meant to be driven and are not meant to be parked. If you're going to have to park it for 3 or 4 days at a time, and then when you do drive it, you just take a little short drive, you're constantly sucking down that battery, so that it never has a chance to
recoup. You get a solar charger.
So what to do is that you can pick up at the automotive place. They have a solar charger. What it is a little solar cell, and it'll go on the dashboard of the car, and at least during the day, it'll take that little bit of sunlight and turn it into electricity, and maybe that'll keep your car going. We got to run, Garnet. Thanks for calling in with that. And that's it.
Especially, we didn't understand how long he leaves the car sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But if he leaves it for long days, it has a parasitic draw continually with drawing. Already, parasitic.
Parasitic. Is that like a woodpecker?
No. Yeah, that bugger. I got to get him.
This is Dave's Chronic Garage. We'll be right back.
Isn't that amazing? CUV, SUV,
Element of
IPO, ABC. Good morning, Ryan Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great. You know, Ryan's with Car Cost Canada.
Yes.
I'm looking for a Mustang convertible, actually, to run around in Florida. So I went on his site. Mm-hmm. I went as a guest, and I looked up the Mustang, and I found there was like $3,000 of gifts.
That was just the difference between the dollar.
No. There was a rebate from Ford for $2,500. There
right.
was money available from Costco. There was another rebate for something else. It ended up was almost $3,000 less than the dealer was asking. And I'm going, wow. Absolutely
yeah, so,
insane.
I mean, and that's the thing, right? We have all the information on, you know, hidden rebates and advertised rebates. And the thing is, if you just go on the dealer website, you may only see the rebates that are being advertised.
Mm-hmm.
But our reports, we're going to have all the hidden ones and essentially all the savings, you know, you didn't know you qualified for.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you go to buy a refrigerator or something like that,
you
don't know what that costs. What's the whole point of knowing what the car costs?
Yeah, so, I mean, the way it works is, I mean, as we all know, I mean, you know, you go to the grocery store, you know, you don't know the cost. You can't negotiate the cost of an apple or cereal. You know, these things are kind of set. And the way it kind of works is with big ticket items like cars, knowing the invoice price can actually impact the price you're going to get. So the thing that people don't realize is that on most new cars sold in Canada, the average markup is probably about 6 to 10%. So not as high as you know, everyone might think, but knowing the dealer cost can actually help you get a pretty sizable reduction in the price that you pay.
Well, of course, because the big difference is that when you go to buy a fridge, you're paying the sticker price.
No, but you get discounts on fridge, but they're very little. You don't get much.
But
and that's the thing, and you don't even know how good the discount is because you don't know their cost, right?
Yeah.
So if you know the cost, you've established the price floor, and you know that the retail price is the price ceiling. Now, obviously, the whole idea is you want to pay as close to the price floor as possible.
I got two questions for you.
Sure.
How important is it that people, do they all haggle to try and get a better deal? Or is it they purchase a vehicle and they expect all the service that comes? You know, am I paying full list and I'm getting better service because I'm paying full list?
That really shouldn't be the way it works. I mean, with Car Cost Canada, you know, we try to set people up with recommended dealers where that not only are they going to give you the lowest possible price or the best price, but the experience should also be just as well as if, you know, you were to go out elsewhere and pay a retail price. So, you know, the service just should come naturally, especially if you're buying at one of our
recommended
dealers.
And the second question I had, which I think everybody would want to ask is,
mm-hmm.
if I'm buying a Porsche or an Aston mm-hmm. Martin or
right.
Do they do the same thing, get a car cost and go after?
Well, you know, on exotic vehicles like that, unfortunately, you know, we don't have pricing, and that's because, you know, they're low volume units.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't exactly work the same way on exotic vehicles. But on most new cars sold in Canada, you know, we do have pricing. And we do have pricing on other luxury vehicles like, you know, Audis, Mercedes and stuff like that. And it does work the same on those.
And and do people really go after it and try and get as much discount?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people every day, you know, price out reports on vehicles like that. And, you know, they do get a lot of savings, you know, a couple $1,000, you know, something like that. It works on those kinds of vehicles very well.
So for the most part, once they've gone to your website, and what's the website called?
Yeah, so it's carcostcanada.com.
Right. So once they've signed up because they want to go ahead and purchase a car, ultimately they shop the car online, and then you hook them up with a dealership.
Yeah, so what actually happens is they pick all their options and stuff like that. Then they generate what's called the dealer invoice price report, and on there we have not only the invoice prices we were discussing, but also the hidden rebates and stuff like that that you guys were mentioning. Like, you know, if you're a Costco member,
mm-hmm.
If you're paying cash, they're going to see all those kinds of things. And then they're going to essentially be able to figure out what their best price is going to be. And not only that, as I also mentioned earlier, the dealer, we're going to set them up with a dealer who we believe is going to provide a great experience for them
now,
as well.
The first one is free, so it gives you an idea of what it is. But, okay, I'm trying to buy a car in Florida. I have gone probably to 20 or 30 sites looking for a different looking for the car that I want. So how does it work with you? You buy a package?
In terms of sourcing the vehicle?
No, service of giving information. How many times can I go on the site?
Oh, so, you know, right now the first report's free, right?
Right.
After that, what you can do is you can upgrade to our pro membership,
right,
are better than free membership. So for a price of $30, people are going to get 5 dealer invoice price reports, and they're also going to get an Esso Price Privileges card of up to $50 in savings.
You like that, eh?
That's like free.
Free and $20.
Exactly, right?
That's better than free.
All right, Ryan, thanks for joining us today. Okay. CarCostCanada.com?
Yep, CarCostCanada.com. People can head over there and start their free trial.
You get a free trial if you join, which is $30, and they give you back a $50 gas card.
That is correct.
What about dinner? No. Okay. I'm just trying. Anyways, thank you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
okay, Ryan and Rogers from CarCostCanada.ca.
You know, my shop is up near the courthouse, eh? Can you get a free trial or what?
No, but you can't park there unless you go into the Greek restaurant.
It's all Greek to me. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this message.
Alrighty. You listen to Dave's Corner Garage. Just a reminder to go to davescornergarage.com. That's our website. Tons of information on there, like seatbelt recalls, Takata airbag recalls. Enter the contest to go to Las Vegas. Here's a couple of announcements you should make before going back to the phones.
Right off the presses.
I was going to do the woodpecker.
The woodpecker.
Okay, Ministry of Transportation has announced, if you don't pay your highway traffic fines, you're not going to get your plates. So if you got a speeding ticket that's outstanding, you better pay it because they're going to deny you a renewal of your license plates.
So what happens if you're waiting for a court date?
I have no idea. I guess there's nothing on the machine yet because it hasn't been resolved. But this is stuff that you've been found guilty.
Oh, you've been found guilty already. Okay, not just charged.
So
okay,
remember perfect. That. Yeah. So you've got that thing outstanding. And the second one is, which is interesting, this is from CBC News. You know how they have license ownership?
Yeah, ownership and insurance.
Ownership insurance. Well, insurance can now be on proof as a pink slip on your mobile phone.
So you can take a picture of the pink slip?
Take a picture of the pink slip, both sides, and then if a cop pulls you over, well, I have my mobile phone, but meanwhile, I want to record the conversation in case you want to.
Right, and I wonder. Exactly.
Right, so interesting.
All right, we got to get you off this plane.
Okay, now, you can get off the plane. They had another one. They killed a rabbit or something. United?
Really?
Yeah, first they dragged the guy off the plane, and some rabbit was kept in the hole, and they killed it.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't want to be buying United stock right now.
I hope it wasn't Easter time.
This fellow gentleman's calling about paint.
All right, Bill and Buckhorn. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, yes. I have a 2010 Ford F-150.
Yeah.
I've kept it undercoated with Crown since before I got it. They took it over and undercoated it, and I bought it new. I've had it done every year. I have it done about the first part of May every year.
Mm-hmm.
And now the paint is all peeling off the bottom sharp corners of the box and under the doors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all peeling off and even up around the fender wells.
Okay. I've always found the folks at Crown to be really understanding of problems like this. I think your first situation is you go back to the nearest Crown dealer, the one that you dealt with. He will take pictures of the damage, okay? Yes. The local Crown DSM, the local service manager, will have a look at it, and they'll contact you, all right? The situation could be could be rust-proofing, but it may just be a problem from Ford.
It doesn't appear to be rusted underneath.
No, it's usually the paint. They had a problem. Ford did have a problem with paint peeling. I have a Freestar, which is a shop van, and the paint is peeling off like in strips. So there was a problem with the undercoat. But before saying anything of that, go back to the Crown guy, show him that. They'll take pictures. They'll send it to the head office, and you'll have an answer quickly.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They're very understanding.
Because I take care of my vehicles really well. Like I even change oil in the automatic transmission every 50,000.
So it deserves to be taken care of. So like I say, phone them up. These are the nicest guys, the most straight-up people I've ever dealt with in my life.
All right, thanks for calling in, Bill.
Okay.
But I guess, Dave, a lot of people don't realize, you know, you have high traffic areas. So, for example, if you've got tires that stick out past the wheel wells, you know, the corrosive action and the
abrasion.
The abrasion, thank you, from sand and salt will actually peel the paint off. I mean, there's nothing much you really can do,
well,
short of mud flaps, things like that.
Well, I had, like I say, I was saying with the Freestar, the paint is just coming off in strips.
So how do you fix that?
It's a 10-year-old, 12-year-old car. They don't even care. Mm. It's just the shop truck, right? Da-da, and it's mostly the roof, right? So there we go. So the bottom line is, yeah, I would go back and ask. I don't think it's a rust-proofing problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them. I saw them do one guy. I don't want to mention names. But he did the car once as a rust-proof. Never saw them for 5 years. And then he noticed there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid for it.
Really?
Yeah. They were straight up. They didn't want to argue with the guy.
That's amazing.
And then it's something. So it's a good bunch of people.
Okay.
All right. Things that we forgot to talk about today. Nothing. I have to tell you, though, buying a car in the U.S. is a real experience, especially because the Canadian dollar, I went to look at the bank yesterday. If you buy $1,000 worth of it's 71 cents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our dollar's worth.
Right.
So you can buy a car down there, a brand new car, for $17,000.
Yeah. But that's the advertised price. I mean, we've talked.
No. A Rego, that's the guy in West Palm here. A Jeep Cherokee, $17,000. Then he had another one, a Dodge Frontier, what it's called. You know, the caravan, but the little one.
Mm-hmm.
Journey. $14,000.
Yeah, but you know what? We've had Terry O'Keefe on from Omvic, and you know we have all-in pricing here in Ontario, but don't make that assumption that it's going to be down in the States. Didn't you tell me that the price of the vehicle almost doubled by the time you got there?
Well, that was this one Toyota dealer, yeah. But it's all different there. It's not like here. It's the Wild West down there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I'll let you know what we're buying. It's either going to be a Mustang convertible, which is what I want.
Right.
The wife wants a station wagon. That's what she wants, right? And I think we both want an old Cadillac. So we'll see what happens.
I guess you're buying three cars.
Nah, we're in a rental car. It's usually what happens. It doesn't pay to keep a car down there. I think you should just rent them.
Super. I want to thank Terry Lobson, who we spoke to about the auction, which is coming up next weekend. So check it out.
I want to thank Lant Insurance for wanting to support us. Lant is available at our website.
So if you buy a car at the auction,
yeah.
If you buy a car at the auction, you can actually negotiate and get a price for your insurance right there.
Right there. You get insurance, walk over, get your plates, and drive the baby home.
And if you just want to decorate your man cave, you can do that as well. There's all kinds of goodies down there.
And a big thank you to the folks at Car Cost Canada. You know, without our sponsors, we wouldn't be here, and we appreciate them. And the most of our sponsors, I would say that most. All of our sponsors are great guys because we don't want to associate ourselves with people that aren't great.
And I want to thank Sebastian behind the board, who's doing a great job as usual.
Crazy. And you'll go to the Will Call desk at the auction to pick up your tickets. Have a great weekend. Say goodbye, Al.
Bye, everyone. Drive safe. We'll see you next week here on Dave's Corner Garage.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.